Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Changing your heart isn't just a matter of decision. You can change your activities. And what does happen when you make certain decisions to follow the Lord and you invest yourself, maybe it's in people that frustrate you or in things you thought you wouldn't like before, but you feel compelled. And so you do them. What happens is, in the process, your heart changes. What is it that really changes our heart, though? It's exposure. Exposure to things. It's who or what we're exposed to, our heart begins to go out to.
Changing your heart isn't just a matter of decision. Your heart will follow your pursuits, your activities, and your Lord. As Pastor Troy puts it in today's message, your heart will change through exposure. So, what are you exposing your heart to? Are you pursuing godly activities? Are you keeping away from distractions and temptations? Is the Lord Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? You can follow all kinds of pursuits and lords. Keep your focus on Jesus, His will, and your heart will follow. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Hebrews chapter 12 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verses 18 through 23, so He said to them, "Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from the outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods? And He said, what comes out of a man, that defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." So holiness and pursuing holiness is something that happens within the heart, on the inside. It's not about outward activity. That happens as a result of what's on the inside also. The way we dress, what we do to ourselves, it's because of something that's in here. They say, "Don't judge me by the way I dress." Well, you dress because of something in here. There's some need or some reason that you did that. Somewhere in your heart, you were directed or felt a need to do something like that. Why? What is it? There's something in the heart. So yes, you don't judge whether they're nice or not. Remember that, Christian. We're not judging whether someone's nice or not. There's nice people in gangs. I know, because when they get converted and they come out, they're some of the nicest people I've ever known. And I'm sure they're nice to some of the people on their side in wearing their colors. They're very nice. So we're not talking about nice and not nice. We're talking about something wrong in the heart. Something that's not calibrated properly on the inside as we're to pursue holiness. So it's not about an outward activity, it's about the heart, what's in your heart. And you know, changing your heart isn't just a matter of decision. You can change your activities. And what does happen when you make certain decisions to follow the Lord and you invest yourself, maybe it's in people that frustrate you or in things you thought you wouldn't like before, but you feel compelled, and so you do them, what happens is, in the process, your heart changes. What is it that really changes our heart, though? It's exposure. Exposure to things. It's who or what we're exposed to, our heart begins to go out to. If we're too close to the world and people caught up in sin or certain sins, our heart will begin to identify with them and go, hey, they're people. they're kind. Maybe this is okay. Maybe this is acceptable. Maybe we shouldn't be so hard on these things. Our heart begins to identify with them and to go out to them. I know the miracle of our hearts being changed by exposure because I hate cats. Hey, it's okay. You know, cats are fine, but in other people's homes. However, I have a cat. I didn't want a cat. I don't want a cat, but they came and they brought this poor, pathetic creature of a cat that had, you couldn't even tell it was a cat. It had so many fleas on it. And my wife, full of sympathy, brought this probably near death cat. I'm not even exaggerating. It was probably not going to live, it seemed like. It just was flea infested, very small, very tiny, like the runt of the litter. And she lovingly plucked all, washed, and I mean, just loved the cat. And so my heart changed a little bit. It's exposure. So my heart went out to my wife. The cat was still a cat, but it's a kitten. And you know, even if you hate cats, some of us who don't like the cat so much, kittens, they're okay. But they grow into cats. So knowing this, we let the cat come and I learned a lot about cats. A lot about cats. If you throw them against a wood fence, let me explain. I thought it was just the cartoons, but they actually stick. We were trying to chase our cat. I'm a dog guy. I only know dogs. Now, dogs, you pick up when you catch them, you pick them up, you take them in, you chastise them, you know? Apparently, you don't do that with cats. So I ran, and my son, he's like 5 years old or something, and we're running. We catch the cat. We catch him. So I get him. And he's just freaking out. I've learned this, you know. We're out in the front yard, and so I didn't care where I threw him. I just knew I didn't want to get clawed up, so I just threw him right into the fence. And he stuck. You know, had a little scratch here, and I'm like, man, cats are different. Well, I have grown to love my cat. I still don't love cats, but I'll still look at my cat sometimes, and I realize, man, God, you have changed my heart. And he's my cat. He's our cat. But my heart was softened by exposure. I don't think you understand how much I didn't like cats. But exposure changed my heart. When the Lord convicted me of drinking, I remember it was very hard for me to... It wasn't like I was an alcoholic or drank a whole lot, but I liked trying the new drinks that came out. And so I just like it. I don't want to get drunk. I just, you know, and the Lord's convicting me of it, and I don't think it's all that bad, you know, and I'm trying to rationalize. And so there came a time where God said, I don't even want you to go in the alcohol aisle at all. Because here's what happens. Our heart is exposed to sin and exposed to worldliness and exposed to the activities of the world. And so it's like a magnet. We like it. And when you have two magnets together, they'll stick pretty good. I've got some really strong magnets. They stick. It's hard to pull them apart. And they actually, even right here, there's a strong pull. It's not until you get out here that it's like, okay. When we are separating from the world, pursuing holiness and putting aside all those things that don't make for peace, it's hard at first. Very hard. It's like the magnet. But what happens over time with less exposure, our heart begins to be okay with moving forward, moving on, pursuing peace. And it actually gets easier, but it's hard in the beginning. Very hard. And some will never stay in there, persevere long enough to get themselves freed. When they're freed, it's not that they're chained. The chains are gone in Christ. But there still is a draw. And we never overcome that because we don't pursue peace. See, when it came to the drinks, I had no problem with it, but there was not peace in my mind. Because the Lord, I think he was saying, but I'm trying to rationalize, you know, I'm arguing with the Lord. Like, yeah, but it's not bad. It's not bad, Lord. Like, if I do it, it's not sin. It's not bad. But the truth is, it is sin for me. If he's put his finger on it, as bad as any sin. It's rebellion, the same sin Satan's guilty of. So it is bad. if God's put his finger on it. There was a war. There was fighting going on. There was no peace. And so I had to move on. And it was very difficult. Separating ourselves from the world is very difficult. But here's a strategy for pursuing holiness. Renewing our minds with the Word of God. Renewing our minds about things. Romans 12, 1 and 2 tell us about that, so that we can discern properly. Taking our sin seriously and calling it what it is. It's not a hang-up, it's not a weakness, it's not an emotional softness. It is sin. It's sin against God. God has said, and we are making excuses. So it is sin. Confessing our sin to the Lord. Saying, Lord, I want to call it what you call it. Help me with it. And then, no, you can't just drop all of that, because we are going to be drawn to something. People who have bad habits, addictive habits, will know that if you drop one, you're going to pick up another, because you have an addictive habit or addictive personality. And so God knows that too. And so he says, here's what I want you to be drawn to. So that final thing is to acknowledge what God wants you to start doing. And be busy about your Father's business. And do it. Over time, those things that had such a strong draw, you will find that they lose their attraction. They lose it. It does get better, trust me. It gets easy. I can go, now I have no conviction going through the alcohol aisle at all, nothing. I can't believe I struggled. And there's all kind of new stuff. In fact, I look at it and go, oh, that's something I would have tried. But there's no attraction at all. It's gone, thank God, but it would have never been gone if I had not listened to the Lord. What do you mean, don't go to the aisle? You know what would have happened? I would have kept seeing the new thing, and I would have, well, I'll just get one. Because that's what was going on. And I'd set myself back. No drunkenness. The world would say, no, you're okay, it's okay, you can do that. But no, I could not. God was breaking me of something, and I needed to pull away, so that I could go forward and pursue holiness.
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on Building on the Solid Rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's Word with us. He'll have much more to share in the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about Building on the Solid Rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well, and even subscribe to our podcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
So, this is basically the process of sanctification. By the way, pursuing holiness, this is very important. We need to pursue holiness over happiness, because it says, without these, no one will see the Lord. That's how important it is. So this is basically the process of sanctification, turning from one sin, turning from the things that God says don't have anything to do with, and turning to God. That's all it is. And we're always going through it. We all have something right now that we think we can't live without. And God's slowly putting his finger on it. So what are you going to do? If you want an alignment, if you want to swerve without the pulls to the left and to the right, you need to do what God says to do about it. Verse 15. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. Second thing we want to do, if we're going to get that alignment, is to consider our lives. To consider our lives, what's in our life, what's in our heart, what's going on. Let me read Genesis 25, 27 through 34 about Esau, this moment here. It says, so the boys grew, that's Esau and Jacob, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game. but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field and was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." And Esau said, "Look, I'm about to die. So what is this birthright to me?" Then Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him, sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau, and this is what's important. This is what the author notes. Thus Esau despised his birthright. This was about his birthright here. The point is this. He let something small and passing become more important to him than something that was spiritually significant. So he says, look carefully in your heart about this, guys. Look carefully, lest you fall short. And there's a few lests. Lest this, lest that, lest this. It's like pulling weeds. We need to look and to find them and to pluck them. He says, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. They were being tempted to return to the sacrifices so that the things that they did made them righteous, forsaking the grace of God. He says, don't turn your back on the grace of God. In fact, it's the doing of things, when our eyes are on the doing of things, that if we do those things, we can get a more haughty feeling about ourselves. And when others aren't doing things that we think they ought to be doing, we can become very legalistic and forget grace also. Getting on others for what they're not doing, when we don't know what's going on in that person's heart. When we think what we do makes us righteous and holy, we're on the road to legalism. But as we've already talked about, it's not the doing. Those are fruits. Those are manifestations. But they're manifestations of what first begin in the heart. And we don't know if there's the heart work going on. It's just not yet produced the fruit yet. Because you guys know, don't you, as Christians, about the struggle? You have a struggle today, I'm sure. That magnet we talked about, I have a hard time with this thing. Now, no one can see that one day you're going to be over it. They just see that you're in it. They're doing this. I can't believe they would do this or watch this kind of stuff or do these kind of things or say these kind of things or these kind of words. And we're all on them. But what we don't know is if they're at the beginning of that pull. That's why we can't make the proper judgment. Now, the only thing we can do is look at the activity and continue to encourage them in the right direction. You don't want to just leave them and hopefully the Lord's working with them. You want to guide them. But other than that, we can't become legalistic and forget the grace of God or fall short of it ourselves. Lest also any root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble. It says, by this many have become defiled, because anger and your temper and fighting and being defensive doesn't affect just yourself. It affects everyone who was there for your outburst and your defensive actions. It spreads. So when you do that, you affect others, not just yourself. It's my right to get angry and I'm not hurting anyone. Yes, you are, the people that are watching. The New York Giants have a receiver, and I saw on the news or something, they showed how he threw a little temper tantrum. In fact, it's coming up in sports a lot, these temper tantrums. I don't know what's going on with the character we're allowing in sports, but this is what's going on. And he just pushed the little kicking net, and it fell and hit him. And you saw the offensive linemen and others, they're just kind of not looking. We're just, you know, leave him alone. But it affects other people because they're like, you know, when he's upset, we're not dealing with it. Then the quarterback had to get drawn in and settle down. If you lose your cool, you're not going to catch anything, and it's going to be a mess. So these things do affect others, and we got to get a grip on them. Now he's talking about bitterness, because when anger hits our hearts and we hold on to it, we target someone, somebody. Somebody's fault, and we will get bitter. And if you haven't targeted one person, you'll target a party, the Democrats or the Republicans or the Independents, or you're going to target someone. You'll target the church, this church or the church. Some people get so bitter, they target God. He says, don't let a root of bitterness rise up in your hearts. Now, why would he say that? Because they're being frustrated by their own families and friends who are turning their backs on them, saying, you're not one of us, you're out. He says, don't let a root of bitterness happen. Don't do it. He says, by this many have become defiled. See, bitterness makes us biased. It affects our prayer life, and it causes us not to root for somebody. Because I don't want good things for them. If I hear good things are going on for them, I don't want to hear. It makes me mad. And I suffer as a result of my bitterness. Because of certain things that happened in my life, I had a huge dislike for Mormonism. I looked into it. I studied it. I know a lot about Mormonism. And I pursued it, not because I was interested in it, because I had a zeal against them. And I was very upset and even bitter. I hated it. It translated not just to the Mormonism, but to the people. So much so that the San Francisco 49ers had a Mormon quarterback, Steve Young. And though I was a Cowboys fan and they were competing heavily at the time, it wasn't because I liked the Cowboys. I had a hatred for the 49ers and I had a hatred for the quarterback. I didn't want a Mormon winning. I didn't want a Mormon showing, oh, God's with him. I didn't want to see any of that. I had a hatred. In fact, I had an ungodly hatred. I think it's interesting that when individuals get caught up into their sports, and I've done that, and I still love sports. I like sports. But it's like, okay, we have a team we enjoy. That's good. But it seems like they have so many more teams they hate. It's like it inspires a hatred. And it's an ungodly hatred. They beat us last year in the championship, man. We need to kill them. We need to take out the quarterback. What? Why? What did he do? They beat us. We're out of alignment. These things are way, way too important. So we need to consider our lives, lest there's a root of bitterness that might rise up. He also said, lest there be a fornicator, a profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. This is simply examining yourself so that you make sure that the things in the world, big or small, aren't becoming more important than spiritual things, godly things. Like, I can never make it to church because I got this thing. Oh, and this thing. And I want to do this. I want to pursue that. We look at worship ministries, and I've heard so many stories of worship leaders and worship team members. Oh, can't be there for worship this morning because I'm going to go out and we're singing. It's in a bar, but it's in the morning, and, you know, they're just doing a special thing, and I think I can be a light. I can be a light. So you're sacrificing, enabling the church to have quality worship now because you're after some pursuit. These are the things that we need to check our hearts on. Is God getting the best? Is God getting the best of us? Because, see, these things in the world, they cause us to stumble. They cause us to veer. You don't know. Okay, we were watching that person because, man, they could actually lead worship. Maybe we'll ask them to lead some worship on Wednesday nights or something. And then all of a sudden, over the next few months, they're doing the outreach thing. Ah, man, we can't. They're not faithful. They're not here enough. They cause us to swerve and they stumble us. Faithfulness is what God says is important. Faithfulness, be faithful. He was faithful with little, we'll be faithful with much.
The book of Hebrews reminds us that only one person should hold the top spot in our lives, God. Our Creator has made all that we see and all that we are, and nothing we have done can change it. In Pastor Troy's verse-by-verse study through this New Testament book, we've learned how important it is to keep our focus solely on the Maker of heaven and earth. We're so glad you joined us today for another edition of Building on the Solid Rock. If you'd like to hear more teachings from this series in Hebrews, visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also subscribe to our podcast to have the latest messages from Pastor Troy as soon as they're available. You'll find a link on our website, or you can subscribe in iTunes. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com and be sure to let us know how we can be praying for you. Thanks for listening today to Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.